Well, hello, White Sox fans. Welcome to another edition of the Future Sox Podcast Live. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me tonight is the Grand Poobah of Future Sox, James Fox. How are you?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Wonderfully. So, obviously, we have dropped our top 30 this week, and also MLB Pipeline dropped their top 30, so there's some good stuff going around prospect-wise. But I kind of wanted to start tonight with the Major League club with the pitching staff, and kind of wanted to go through some ideas with you about what you think's going on up there and what you think we can expect for, you know, the starting five and, you know, I guess the relief corps as well, going into the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the pitching staff's going to be a little bit important because I don't know if they're going to score any runs, like any at all ever. So, you know, I do think like the pitching side of it, I do think is like a little bit underrated, and they were horrible last year. So, you know, like being better or similar, I guess, like wouldn't be that much of a surprise. I mean, we also talked about in previous shows, just like the upside of the pitching staff potentially, where at least it's like fun to what, right? Like I'll tune in on a Wednesday night if Garrett Crochet is possibly starting, or you know, at least like Michael Soroka was interesting like before and has looked like okay. And I think Eric Fetty is interesting and Dylan Cease is on the team. So yeah, I think, I mean, obviously the biggest question is Garrett Crochet, right? And what they do. I mean, I listened to Connor McKnight's White Sox Weekly from this week, and he seemed to like be leaning into the Pedro quotes, which isn't smart, by the way. About Michael Kopech, and he kind of questioned like, oh, like he thought Kopech was a lock for the rotation until Pedro said something recently, and now he's not so sure. I'd be pretty surprised if Kopech's not in the rotation. That, like, look, ultimately he may be in the bullpen, but I mean, like, when you're bad, like there's no reason to not start him, like at least to start. So, you know, obviously the question is what is Crochet's role, and then how do they use like Chris Flexen like within that role, right? Like, is it Crochet starting, Flexen piggybacking? Could you do something with Crochet and Kopech? I don't really know, but I think those six guys factor into like five spots somehow.
Yeah, Flexen looked pretty decent today. So, you know, he's looked fairly promising to start the season here in spring training. And Soroka looked really good as well. He had five strikeouts through three innings. And, you know, both of those guys' command started off a little tiny bit shaky, but then they kind of straightened things out. You bring up Kopech. I mean, you want to talk about being shaky early. You know, it's about 20 pitches or so before he finally seems to start getting comfortable. So, you know, if he sticks in the starting rotation to start the season, you know, you could be looking at opening day all over again with his first start this season, you know?
Well, and that, I mean, that's why, like, I feel like we've pushed back against the reliever idea. Like, you can't have that.
Yep.
Like, I just don't know why people, like, assume with him that it's like, oh, yeah, he's got great stuff. He'll be fastball slider. He'll be great. I'm like, yeah, I mean, unless he's a freaking head case and he's not great and you're going to ask him to pitch 3 to 4 times a week? No, thank you. Like, I'm not interested. Like, I kind of feel like if you're, you know, if they're considering like trying to salvage Michael Kopech and then trade him, like, I don't know. I feel like I just like leave him in the rotation, but maybe you could, maybe you could argue the other way that he has more impact, like as a reliever, but like, I would just, there's no reason to not just like have that guy start. And if it doesn't work, then yeah, he's probably going to be pitching out of the bullpen, but then his future doesn't really matter as much.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is that, you know, most of the time when people talk about the fact that, you know, Kopech has previously been good in the bullpen, well, that was also a few years ago. So, you know, who knows if he's in the same mental state now, and it's just a, you know, that who knows that he's going to return to that form coming out of the bullpen and just being this, you know, impact force out of the bullpen in 2024. You know, I who knows?
Right.
You know?
Well, and so, you know, me and Mike Rankin would always talk about like the Garrett Crochet thing, right? Because I would always go back to, you know, I interviewed Mike Shirley after that draft. He swore up and down that he was a starter and that he thought he was a starter and the staff thought he was a starter. And then obviously, you know, we don't need to rehash like what happened with him. And I've kind of always said, like, look, I would give him the opportunity to start. But at that time, like, I kind of thought the White Sox were a contender. So I'm like, well, it's not going to happen here. Like, the only way you could do it here would be him going down to the minors and starting, right? And you see what happens. I said, yeah, maybe on, like, an Oakland or somebody, like, he could go. Well, on this White Sox team, I mean, they might be able to do it, right? So I don't really know, like, the best way to do this, but I hope they do it. You know, like, if they just say, like, oh, yeah, he's going to Charlotte or whatever, like, okay, that's fine. But if they want to try it, you know, the only thing that's an issue, they can't go to a six-man because of Dylan Cease. So, you know, it would involve maybe skipping him a bunch or piggybacking him somehow. But I am curious to see, like, how his stuff holds for the long periods, you know, for, like, more innings. And just how many innings he can get to, you know, for you to reasonably consider him a starter for 2025. Like, do you want him to be in your rotation in 2025 when you're, like, a little bit better? If that answer's yes, like, how do you get him there? I think that's super important. But he looks pretty good. So that's, you know, he's got to be on the team in some role, and it doesn't really make any sense to have him in short relief, obviously. So I think we're going to see him a lot more than we've seen him, you know, in the past few years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, watching Crochet pitch right now is must-see TV, you know, when he's on anyway, when you can see it. He's been pretty fantastic. And I, you know, I made my personal apology. I didn't expect this at all. But then again, I didn't know that the velocity was reaching the, you know, where it is right now. So just really exciting stuff. Finally, there's something that's kind of like created a buzz with the actual MLB ball club, which, you know, this has been a rough thing. And you know, you talk about listening to Pedro quotes and saying that they're not smart. Are you saying that they're not smart as in the quotes are themselves dumb, or that the information is them in them is dumb? Because I kind of would lean both ways. That
I just, is he making the decisions? I just don't know. Like, God, I hope not, right? I just, like, here's where I am with this. And I don't know if we talked about this. I can't remember if it was off air or on. Like, I really hope that this is what I think it is, and it's not like they think this is the long-term manager. I think I'm hoping that they know they're bad. It's fine. They're just going with this guy, and then Chris Getz is going to hire his manager, like, after the season. I really hope so, because this is – like, not a thing. This is really, really bad and strange. And, like, the Moncada hitting two stuff, I know you wanted to touch on eventually. I can't. Like, I this guy, like, you know, I posted on Twitter earlier, like, because I don't remember Terry Bevington, you know? I'm 38. Like, I don't. Like, I would always hear my dad tell me stories about Terry. And I watched the team, right? But I wasn't, like, examining the manager's moves. Like, it was worse than this? Really? Like, I don't, like, that's what people are telling. People are telling me. People are telling me yes. And so this is where I would push back. Terry did not have as much information at his disposal as Pedro does. Like, you should just be smarter now, because it's 2024. Like, there's just more info there. So, like, the Moncada, oh man, he really wants to hit two, like, laying bunts down and stuff. Like, what are we doing? Like, if it were Nicky Lopez, right?
He did today.
Like, and I would still think it's stupid.
It was.
But at least it's Nicky Lopez, right? Like, yeah. It's Yoan Moncada. Like, what are we doing? Like,
this is what's on the homepage. This is what the story after the game. Moncada refining bunting skills, flex and solid. The quote from Pedro is, "When was the last time you saw that?" White Sox manager Pedro Grifol asked of Moncada's bunt. I mean, yeah, never, because you don't have your number two hitter, who's one of the best hitters on your team, do that. And, you know, regarding the Nicky Lopez one today, you had a leadoff double followed up by a single. So you had guys on, or you had two guys on, and you have Nicky Lopez bunt to move the two guys over to second and third, and then you get two strikeouts in a row. I mean, well, like, if the guy shows you that he can't get an out, why are you bunting?
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, well, it's spring training. you know, this is the time to work out things like that. No, it's not. I don't want to reinforce stupid in spring training when it's not something that I should be doing, that I should, when it's something that I shouldn't be doing in the regular season. So I, yeah, that the whole bunting thing.
I'm so jealous of having Craig Counsell as your manager. Like, just like if you're a Cubs fan right now, like some of the quotes that he said, you know, where he doesn't bunt, like it's not a thing. They don't do it. He likes homers, Ian. That's what he said. He likes when balls go over the fence. I like that too. I think that's it's a pretty fun way to play. Like, it's like very, very helpful. But so like one of the other things, and this is happening with him, like one of my pet peeves has always been like stud prospect comes up from the minors. Manager asks him to like bunt a guy over, get a bunt down, right? And then fans and media are like, oh, he doesn't know how to play fundamental baseball. It's like, no, that guy's been a number four hitter for his entire life. Nobody's ever been dumb enough to ask him to bunt a guy over. And that's like what this is. It just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I think we got a lot to get into. I don't want to do Pedro the whole time. I can't.
Absolutely not.
And what it is, look, I don't know how many, like, what is up to him, right? Like, if he decides that he wants Danny Mendick on this team and they're not planning on, you know, creating another 40-man spot, right? Like, how much pull does he have? I don't know. Like, I think we'll find that out as the weeks go by here. But you were talking about the starting rotation. My question for you, and I didn't prep you on this, so sorry, but out of this bullpen mix of all these dudes, right, bunch of dudes on the 40-man, a bunch of dudes on the NRIs, who do you think is, like, guaranteed, like, off the top of your head? Like how many of these guys are definitely on this team to start the year? Because I think there's some that we're going to see. We're going to see a lot of Leisure. We're going to see a lot of Baroa. I'm not sure we see him immediately. So who do we think? I mean, Brebbia probably is on the team, I would say, and he's hurt or whatever. But I mean, like, Brebbia, and then what, Tim Hill has money. So those two for sure, I would say. But after that, like, I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's been some of the guys that have pitched have looked fairly decent. Names escaping me off the top of my head. I'd have to look because there's just so many no-name guys that they've got on their roster.
So there's like Dominic Leon, right? Like,
he's looked okay.
He's okay. And then like Brian Shaw's, I don't know if he's going to make the team.
Terrible.
Yeah. And I feel like he did last year too in spring. Like,
yeah, that's why he was available.
And I mean, like, you have Jesse Chavez, who I kind of feel like is probably on the team. Like, even though, like, I just feel like spring doesn't matter. Like, I feel like he might be on the team. But then you do have some issues with guys like Jimmy Lambert, right? Out of options. So either on the team, on the DL, or gone. Davey Garcia, out of options. And then, you know, like, Alex Spies has an option, so he could theoretically go down, you know, with Leisure and some others, right? But, like, I get the fan argument. Like, if they add Jesse Chavez to the 40-man roster and then send Jordan Leisure down, like, that kind of sucks, you know? Like, it does. Like, you're going to suck. Like, why don't you want this, like, guy that everybody thinks is your future closer to just start with the team? So I think there will be things like that. And then Bailey Horn. I think Bailey Horn's on the team, probably. I mean, he's on the 40-man, so he could go down. But, you know, if it's, like, Bailey Horn or Tanner Banks, I mean, you know, you know, we'll see, I guess.
See, the Tanner Banks thing, I mean, yeah, I guess, I don't know. There's been some guys that look decent. And they had, Chad Cole throw three innings, and he did fairly decent. And, you know, you got Jake Cousins, who's looked, you know, fairly decent. I mean, like, a bunch of these guys have looked okay. But the thing is that, you know, you got a guy who's thrown 55 pitches in the Cactus League in Jordan Leisure, and the guy doesn't give up any runs, no hits, you know, hardly ever. You know, some of his command stuff, you know, he's throwing some high pitches in a couple of innings, but, you know, ultimately it was a non-factor in what he ended up doing. You know, he still ended up throwing a scoreless inning, you know, every time pretty much. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't, the whole thing, you know, and also the thing that I think that you have to factor in is the Brian Bannister thing, because when you look at somebody like Tim Hill, yeah, they did give him some money, but he's also, you know, Brian Bannister says that he likes different looks. Tim Hill has a different look, you know? So, I mean, that's probably something that's going to factor in as well. So I don't know. There's a, you know, I've been asked this question a couple of times is, you know, like, what is the, who's going to make the roster? And I just keep on saying, you know, there's so many wild cards and so many people making decisions that probably have a different idea of things than I do, you know, ultimately when it comes down to it. So I don't really know who's going to end up in the bullpen for sure. Yeah. So.
Well, and I kind of feel like if Corey Knebel was healthy, he's on the team. I think that was part of the plan. So that's fine. Like if he's not healthy, like he'll just rehab in Arizona and then they'll have to add him when he's, you know, like when he's healthy, they'll save a spot with Shane Drouin. Obviously we'll go down for a while. I believe, like Davis Martin hasn't been 60-day DL'd yet, so that's possible. So, you know, I'm sure they'll put Drouin and him on the 60-day. That'll clear up two spots. You can get a spot with Peyton Burdick here at some point. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, but, and then I guess just like the other thing before we move on to top 30s or whatever else you want to do, like the, you know, the two spots that seem up for grabs, right? Like, I feel like Pilar's on the team and the backup catcher is definitely on the team. So is there a battle between Gavin Sheets and Mike Moustakas, who's been horrendous?
That's the thing, yeah.
And then between Danny Mendick and a whole host of other guys. Obviously not Jose Rodriguez because he's already down. So is that Danny Mendick, Lenin Sosa, and Shoemake. Braden Shoemake? Yeah, like I don't know. So it seems like though that's what the two spots come down to, though, would be that. And obviously, Moustakas, Pilar, and Mendick would all need to be added to the 40-man.
Yeah, and then at that point, you know, who are you going to end up taking off and who are you willing to lose, which is going to be real interesting because I think that there's going to be a – I mean, there will be a couple of guys that you can bump off, you know, that nobody's probably going to claim if they even decide to keep a Touki Toussaint, you know?
Well, so, and he's out of options too. So,
yep.
So that decision's easy. So him, I would say like Davey Garcia is a guy that I would like to keep if they could, but I mean, he's out of options. Lambert's out of options. You would think Lambert has trade value if he doesn't make the team. And then, like I just said, there's a couple of guys that can go to the 60. Peyton Burdick seems expendable, but after that, like I do think it gets questionable as to who you would remove, because even for like all of Lenin Sosa's shortcomings, like, I mean, I don't really want to lose that guy for nothing. So, nope. You know, so you know I what agree. I mean? So we'll kind of see how it's going. How is the spring been for you so far? Who is Juki Hollick? What team do they like?
He's a Royals guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at the record, you can tell how things have been.
Yeah,
so
it's not
far.
Very.
I mean,
it's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some productive stuff, but,
yes.
You know, for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. The Royals spent some money for sure. I just the problem is it's just like not enough money, especially when like your farm system's like somehow not good. I don't know. But yeah, like the ballpark, the design for the new ballpark looks good.
It does. It looks really nice. So one thing I wanted to move to before we hop into the top 30 is that we have one of our guys, Elijah Evans, down in Arizona. And if you did not see on Twitter, he has been posting videos of some of the things that have been going on, some interview stuff that he's been doing down there. And I just wanted to bring up a couple of pitches here that he got of Noah Schultz. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring that video up. Somebody's happy back there. Missing bats.
Well, the extension is just absurd on this. Like, there's just, I don't know how anybody hits this guy.
No. Yeah, I think it's just, you know, as we've talked in it previously, you know, it's just about getting it, you know, him built up and getting some innings under his belt this year. And I think, you know, he's just going to rocket up the top 100 if he gets some innings under his belt. And should make some serious headway in the, you know, in the levels down in the minors as well. So, all right. Well,
so we kind of talked about it, like, I think before, you know, and it's just all about innings for him this year. Like, even if he gets hit around or whatever, like, that's fine. Like, get to 70 plus innings. So then we can start talking about, you know, his future a little bit. I mean, send him to Winston-Salem. Canny doesn't really make any sense, you know, and take the ball every fifth day and essentially go from there. So there were some issues, obviously, with Noah Schultz's, his, I guess, just his pitching plan a little bit last year. Like, you know, it was his first time really as a professional. He wasn't throwing enough midweek, the White Sox kind of thought, like, once they made this determination, and they thought it was one of the reasons why his, like, shoulder was barking at him late in the year. He's completely healthy and ready to go, throwing 96 to 99 in bullpens on the backfields right now. So that's, you know, we found out Elijah would have the opportunity to go over and see him, and he did that. Because, you know, so that's I don't know if he's pitched in games or how that's looking or whatever, but I'm sure that's coming shortly.
Yeah. So you want to move to our top 30 here? All right. Well, let me go ahead and bring that up. All right. There is our top 30. I just go ahead and condensed it all into one thing since it's out there for the masses to consume. Obviously, with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it seems to be that that's like pretty close to a universal thing outside of, I think, Fangraphs. I think Fangraphs had like a couple of things that were a little strange that maybe theirs weren't quite the same. But yeah, any thoughts on the top five that you want to go through before we start moving down here?
Yeah, really, not a ton. I mean, I think the top seven is the same top seven pretty much everywhere for the most part, except for maybe Kylie had Cannon up there. But, you know, flipping Ramos and Caro possibly. Ramos looks pretty good. And there's people that I've heard from that are out there that just talk about his bat. Like, if he stays healthy and he plays at Charlotte, like, I think he's going to freaking mash. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I think the top five is fine. It kind of looks like this pretty much everywhere for the most part.
Yeah. Moving to the 6 through 10. And so this is where it kind of gets weird. And it's also, you know, in between everybody that voted on it at Future Sox, even like the 6, 7, 8 area was kind of a weird spot. And, you know, with the addition of all the numbers that get assigned in the point system, it just so happens that Eater's at 6 and then Jacob Gonzalez is at 7. I know that, you know, a bunch of us had him higher or lower than this number, and it just so happened that it kind of met in the middle here.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, it's good to get the positive reports from Jacob Gonzalez. Elijah interviewed him a little bit, and I think he heard Elijah's reaction on draft night, because, you know, he doesn't really like doing the interviews, Jacob Gonzalez, I feel like. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe he's just like that and just doesn't really like doing interviews. But, yeah, no, it's good. I mean, there's been some footage of him at shortstop, and I think, like, obviously you hear about, like, the 45-runner thing, but, I mean, he was Team USA shortstop, so I think he'll stay there for the time being. I think Paulette we were pretty high on compared to, like, the rest. And then Grant Taylor, super interesting guy. So I actually had the opportunity to speak with Grant Taylor on Friday. And I'm going to be writing up just a piece on him. He seems like he'll be ready to go, like, pretty early in the season. So it sounds like, awesome. You know, he's on, like, the Peyton Paulette plan, it seems like. So he didn't have an affiliate. I don't think he'd tell me if he did, but my guess is he goes to Kannapolis, and it's similar where we're seeing 3 to 4 inning outings, but, you know, I would think they'd want to get him some innings similar to how Paulette was last year.
Yeah. We had this talk when you asked me if I had any questions about that. And I said, like, my main thing that I'm thinking about is going to be information that he's probably not going to throw out there. But my curiosity is what are the spin rates going to look like? Because the thing was, is that his spin rates were, you know, like, outliers, you know, big numbers. So I'm interested to see when he comes back from the TJ, if we're going to see those, you know, same, you know, relative type of numbers out of him. And we'll see what the velocity and you know, usually a command's last thing to come back anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some wild pitches here and there, but really excited to see him on the bump. So obviously new addition, Dominic Fletcher slots in at 11. And then right behind him, we've got George Walkow, which, you know, Elijah Evans has also posted some video of him. He had a home run in intra-squad game the other day, and he's looked pretty good in spring training from the things that I've seen. And then number 13, Jose Rodriguez. He drops four spots in this. I had him a little bit higher. I think maybe Jasper Ruse had him up a little bit higher, but everybody else had him kind of a little bit lower than that. Any thoughts on those guys there?
Yeah, I mean, Wolkow, of course. I mean, it just looks like the... I was on Sox in the Basement this week, and I said it was like the... Joey Gallo toolkit is what it is. I mean, it's a ton of strikeouts, man, and a ton of huge raw power, but he's like 18 years old. So, like, who knows? It could go any direction. I guess he's been playing center field, like on the backfields, he told Elijah, which is interesting. That's fine. There's no reason for him to not play center field until he can't. And then you move him to right field. And then if he ends up playing first base, like, it is what it is because he's massive. But, you know, I think he's a two-year rookie ball guy. I think he starts in rookie ball. I don't even know that he makes it to Canny this year. And I think that's fine if he doesn't. You know, I was a little bit surprised that he's playing in the prospect game, to be honest with you. And I know it's just like a fake game, whatever, but I mean, you know, he's super duper raw and young. So, but I think he definitely belongs kind of where we have him. And then one of the more underrated players in the system, Tanner McDougal, I'm expecting just a, you know, kind of a big year out of him. My guess is Winston for him to start probably. But again, it's just another guy with really good stuff who needs innings. He's got to get up over like 100 innings this year. And then I think he could really climb on this list potentially.
Yeah, I think the assignments for a lot of these guys on this list, it's going to be interesting to see who ends up where at the beginning of the season. And, you know, we won't know in standard White Sox fashion, we won't know where they end up until, you know, like the day beforehand.
First pitch, information. Yeah.
I would expect the same from Tanner McDougal. You know, he had his ups and his downs last year, but the velocity was good. The command is what, you know, kind of eluded him a little bit last year. But then, you know, in his last start of the season, he goes out there and I think it was something like five innings and no hit pitching, you know. So the stuff's definitely, you know, the stuff's in the tank. We just need to see it more consistently and, you know, avoid those blow up innings. So after that, we got Keener and Bush. You know, Keener, we only saw for, I think he had two starts last year. And yeah. I think he only pitched like an inning or two in either of those starts. And, you know, Kai Bush, he dropped three spots this year from midseason for Future Sox. And, you know, he had he had a rough time in Birmingham. So I don't know. We'll see what we get out of him this year. I've seen him, I think we saw him for an inning or two in a spring training game, and that's pretty much been about it. So I don't know. We'll see what he looks like this year.
So just like with Keener, I mean, another thing, like you're going to hear me talk about innings, like a bunch, obviously. I really liked that pick. I like that guy. I think he can start, but like he was in the bullpen at Wake, right? So what does that mean? How many innings can he throw this year? I don't really know that answer. So if that's 70 or so, that would be tremendous. I think that's fine. I mean, if he can go 100, that's great. I don't know what the expectation can be. Like when you were throwing out of the bullpen in college and they project him to start, but look, that's another guy who, if he's at Canny or Winston, might be better than that level and might kind of produce a little bit and to the point where he's finishing his first full season in Birmingham. That wouldn't really surprise me at all.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of those ones that's hard to project because he was in the bullpen in college and they project him as a starter. And if you put him into Kannapolis, the good money is probably on the fact that he's going to be better than the competition. So, you know, when he gets bumped up to Winston-Salem, I think you'll start to see where the, you know, where the warts are and whether or not you're going to be able to keep him in a starting spot or whether he's going to be, you know, more likely a bullpen guy. So I'm interested to see that as well. After that, we've got Jacob Burke and Wilford Veras, and followed up by Jordan Leisure. We saw Jacob Burke today. He got a an RBI single today and made a – now, in standard spring training fashion, we could not see the game, but he made a nice diving catch out in left center field playing left field today. Any thoughts on those three?
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Burke plays like his hair is on fire, you know. And look, I think he's probably a fourth outfielder, but I think he's a big leaguer. I think he's fun. I think he'll be in Birmingham. I think, like, Birmingham's going to be interesting because it's guys that we've kind of talked about here. Like, Burke will be there. I think Veras will be there. Veras is obviously some positional questions with him, but he can hit. And he's hit in Double A so far. And then a guy further down the list that we'll get to in a minute, Terrell Tatum. I feel like all those guys are probably in Double A on a super interesting White Sox affiliate club. So, yeah, those guys are interesting. Jordan Leisure, we talked about a bit. I mean, I think he'll be in the big leagues for most of the year. I think that's a great second piece in the trade that they made at last year's trade deadline, regardless of who made those ones. I mean, you're getting rid of two guys that you have no use for in Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly, and you bring back Nick Nastrini and Jordan Leisure. I mean, that I didn't know who Jordan Leisure was at the time. Like, I had no idea. He's not really a prospect, really, because he is now, obviously, right? But he wasn't really in that loaded Dodgers system. They got a million guys like him. That's the type of guy that you target and get for sure, and it's, like, paid off so far.
Yeah, the Dodgers are pretty much like them and the Orioles are like the two other systems that I've really paid attention to. So, you know, I had seen a little bit of Leisure, but the addition of that curveball has really made him something completely different than what he was when he was with the Dodgers. So we've got new addition, Zach DeLoach, who's made his way into some spring training stuff and, you know, high strikeout, a decent amount of walks, and he hits home runs, but the average has not been exactly up to snuff there. Ryan Burrows, who's moved up three spots in Future Sox, and then you got Perlander Baroa and Javier Mogollon. You got any thoughts here that stick out?
Well, so I will say, like, other outlets love Ryan Burrows, right? And I know, did he play? He didn't play at all in Kannapolis, right? He just went there.
No, yeah, ACL, yeah. and then the dev squad.
So he went there and he was like with Wolcow, like just hanging out and practicing and whatever. So we'll see, right? This is the year where I think you find out if Ryan Burrows is like a prospect or not, right? Like, he can play defensively. He was a little bit underwhelming, I think, in Arizona after a big DSL season, which is typical, right? But, you know, like, backfield looks like guys like Eric Longenhagen, when they rank him where they do, like, he's got a lot of fans, right? So I think it's interesting that Burrows is up as high as he is everywhere. I think we're kind of low on him compared to, like, some other places. So I think he's interesting. Terrell Tatum's another, like, fourth, fifth outfielder type. But, I mean, I think he's a big leaguer because I think he, you know, he does things that you do off of, like, a big league bench, obviously. Baroa, the White Sox are keeping him as a reliever. If Baroa is your eighth inning guy and Leisure's your ninth inning guy, like, in June, July, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And then Javier Mogollon, very interesting, right? And this is, I've been covering DSL guys for years now, right? And it's easy to get excited over guys like this, and then they get stateside and do nothing, right? So it'll be interesting to see how much it translates. The good thing for him is, like, he does walk. He led the league in homers. It's loud, loud, like, you know, from the plate, I guess, is like his exit velocity numbers are like well over 100 in most cases. So this is like a tiny little second baseman that just thumps the ball. And I think the fans in Kannapolis, when he finally gets there, are going to love him. But I think he's another guy like Wolcow, where the Arizona League season starting early will be good for him. You know, those two guys, and, like, you know, Abraham Nunez obviously isn't on this list, but he's another guy that's interesting, you know, so they'll be in Arizona to start. Those are some guys to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Andy Barquette sent me some video of him that I posted last year, and there is, you know, there's definitely loud contact. He's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing him actually get out and be somewhere where we can, you know, where he can be seen. As you know, as far as Mogollon goes, Terrell Tatum, you know, like he, I don't feel like he necessarily did anything wrong to drop eight spots in the rankings here. I just think that like the second half in Birmingham probably dropped him down a little bit, just with the not enough impact in the baseball. But I mean, the guy walked 100 times last year and, you know, maintained a really nice OBP and did have a little bit of power, and he played stellar defense. So he's one of those guys that I've been kind of banging the drum on for a while. I think that there needs to be a, you know, hopefully we see a bump in bat to ball. And, you know, he definitely at least should be, you know, somewhat in a conversation for a fourth outfielder. So then the bottom spaces here, we got Sean Burke, who we have not seen in quite a while. New international signing, Eduardo Herrera. Juan Carella from the Yankees trade, Keenan Middleton, and Mason Adams, who played in three levels last year. You got Matias Lacombe and Aldrin Batista. So we got thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, so we went pretty young here down at the bottom, obviously. I mean, Carella was interesting. He was good when they got him, like, from the Yankees in midseason last year. Aldrin Batista, similar from the Dodgers, right? I think he led the Arizona League in Ks before he came over. So he'll be a starter in Kannapolis. And then Lacombe is, you know, I think everybody kind of knows that story for by now, 12th rounder signed for $450K. That's like sixth or seventh round money. So he's pretty significant. And then, you know, our guy a little bit here, Mason Adams. I think we didn't really have to fudge this one much, but like we wanted to get him onto this list because we felt like he was deserving, right? And we didn't see him at most publications. And then our guy Jim Callis put him at 19 on the MLB pipeline list,
making us look terrible.
Yeah, like and the write-up is super, but I mean it's not wrong, right? I mean I just think it's kind of like, look, I've seen this before, right, where this happens and then a guy goes to Birmingham and it falls apart. And look, that could happen, right? But if he goes to Birmingham and pitches like he's pitched, I mean, he's going to keep moving up the list because, like, all he's done is perform so far. And he's going to get the chance to do that in Birmingham. So,
yeah,
I think he's a pretty interesting guy.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you look at, you know, this is one number that a lot of people don't really pay attention to. They look at ERA. They look at, you know, velocity. They look at K numbers. The thing is, he does not walk anybody. And if you look at his GOAO, which is ground out to air out, every level he was in last year, the ground out to air out went up. And when he got to Birmingham last year, his ground out to air out was 2.5 to 1. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who gets 2.5 ground balls for flyout. And that's, you know, by far the best in the White Sox organization. And I like that guy a lot. I rated him pretty high on my personal, but you know, I did not put him up at 19. So, you know, seeing the MLB pipeline, I was like, oh, okay. All right. So it's not just me. So, yeah. So do you want me to go ahead and bring up the, MLB pipeline? Or you got any closing thoughts on this one?
No, I think you could bring that one up and we can just kind of compare it. Look, it's not different at most, you know, there's a few names that are a little bit different, but
yeah. So I'll just go ahead and bring up.
I was actually a little bit surprised how similar it was, like, at the top.
Just bring up the one with both of them on there.
Yeah.
So on the right is the MLB pipeline top 30, and on the left is the Future Sox. So, yeah, your thoughts on the differences?
I mean, there's no Terrell Tatum, right? That's a little bit, I think, surprising is probably, like, the biggest part. They included Alex Spies and we didn't, which, you know, that's fine. Brooks Baldwin is a guy who I included on my list. And he didn't have enough votes on ours and I kind of stuck to the process. Right. But look, I think if he's on at midseason, it wouldn't be that big of a surprise. I mean, Brooks Baldwin plays everywhere. I didn't know he was as good offensively as he was last year. I think he, you know, he's right. He should be right in this top 30 mix. And we, you know, left him off because we have a process with five people and it is what it is, right? But Jim Callis took him and put him right in there, which I think is good. Like, I think the kid deserves it. You know, they have Tanner McDougal up around where we do, which is the one where I didn't really know. Look, I didn't know if we were going to be, like, high on Wolkow a little bit. But then you start seeing lists that have him right in that range, like 11, 12, 13. And it's like, okay, maybe that is where he belongs. He's just so far away that, you know, that it's that they're these guys are, like, tough to rank, right? So, but then other than that, I mean, they have Shane Drohan on there still. He was going to make ours, but then once he got hurt, I think we kind of went with somebody else just because I don't know what that looks like. I think Shane has always ranked as like a potential starting pitcher. I don't know that he's ever going to be that for this White Sox team. So it does kind of like change the profile a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You got Perlander Barroa is a little bit higher. Sean Burke's a little bit higher. Eduardo Herrera is a little bit higher. I was actually kind of shocked. I felt like they were underrating Jacob Burke quite a bit on this list, but that seems to be his story is that at least it gets him to keep that chip on his shoulder and keep him playing with a fire, you know?
Yeah. So. And I mean, if they think he's a fourth outfielder, like, I guess I get it. I guess I don't know. I think there's a big league future. So like with ours, like, cause how much higher did they rank? They put, so Varus isn't much higher, like 25 and 30 is negligible. And those guys are very different players, right? And they both might make the big leagues for very different reasons. But yeah, like I just think those guys, Burke, Tatum, and then like Wilfred Varus, it's kind of like a choose your flavor, right? Like it's just like which guy do you like better, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing with, you know, it's like they all have like their particular calling card. One thing that Jacob Burke did say last year, and I think it might possibly have impacted his numbers to a point where it's kept his stock down with national guys, is that when he was on that that heater to start the year and with that on-base percentage, with the on-base streak, that he really pushed contact and was working on taking walks and wasn't working on driving the ball. And so I think that probably negatively impacted his stock. You know, people don't think that he does have the power when if you look, you know, you watched him in the AFL and he had, I don't know, in like 20 games or so, he had as many home runs as he did for like the first 2/3 of his playing season last year. So I don't think that it's necessarily, I think that that's kind of one of those that's going to kind of climb a little bit as we go along here.
Yeah, agreed. And look, I've always kind of like, I've preferred the, you know, lower average hit for more power kind of profile with most guys. I don't know that that necessarily makes sense for him, but I mean, I think he'll kind of fall into it. I mean, he's a good enough defender, right? So that's not going to be the issue. And he's kind of fun to watch. So it's an 11th round overslot guy. You know, I think the White Sox have been doing okay, like, in this area. You have him and Brooks Baldwin, who are your 11th and 12th rounders. And then Mason Adams went right behind him. So, you know, these last two draft classes, some interesting names, like, on day three.
Yeah, it definitely seems, you know, the drafts have been a lot better in the last 3 years or so, where the, you know, actually getting numbers of guys and improving the depth as opposed to you know, being the a couple of surprises here and there, but mostly like very, very top heavy. So, you got any anything else this week that you had on your on your list?
In my notebook, yeah. So, like something I missed after the first couple of international signings, Marco Patti talked to the media, and I went back and listened to it. You know, it's pretty typical at the beginning, like the media is asking questions about Eduardo Herrera. And, you know, he kind of said big power, liked how he looked in tournaments here and like in the Dominican, like had no issues with signing him, whatever. Pro Far they had some stuff on there. He talked about just how he's bigger than his brother and he can play all over the infield, stuff like that. You know, he always talks about bloodlines, obviously. But then something that I found like kind of interesting at the end. So, you know, he did mention, like, they asked him about the rest of his class. Now, the White Sox have formally announced some of these guys, but not all of them. And if you look on their transactions page, there's like a whole bunch of signings. So there's like 15 or 16 players. So I went back in and kind of said, oh, did he really mention any of these guys? So,
yeah,
like the easiest way to do this, like Eduardo Herrera got his $1.8 million. And then the guys that were announced with him, Jurgic Profar got $600K. Jesus Primoli is listed as a third baseman now, too. So that was a catcher before from Venezuela, $550K. Orlando Suarez is a right-handed pitcher who Baseball America had some good things to say about. He signed for $375K. And then Francis Romero announced Christian Gonzalez is a left-handed hitting outfielder from Venezuela for $550K. So, like, Patty does mention him on the call, said that he's a left-handed hitter who can really run and play center field. So that's just, like, a small note there, obviously. And then I don't have any bonus amounts for like any of these other guys, but he mentioned Yoiker Fajardo, who's a right-handed pitcher from Venezuela, just talked about how he's polished with spin. There's an Alvaro Rios, who's a catcher from Panama, he said he reminded him of Benito Santiago, which,
Benito Santiago, there's a name.
I like when we get like these comps of like big leaguers, that's always interesting to me. He said he thought it was like 15 or 16 players. I have 16 names written down that are like on their transactions tracker. So, you know, there are a couple of guys from the Dominican Republic. There's Venezuelan catchers. There's a bunch of right-handed pitchers. So all of these guys will be playing on the DSL White Sox. I'll probably put together two articles at some point, like one just kind of summarizing the class, the other one previewing the DSL season where all these guys are slated to play. So the other bit of small news was from Francis Romero again. Like I was told the White Sox were done doing this, but apparently they're still doing it. Now, look, at least he's only 17, right? So this isn't one of these guys that's 22 and he's been out like for a year and a half, like not playing. Alejandro Cruz was pretty well regarded, one of the better guys on like the U15 team like a couple of years ago. He's listed as a third baseman, but I think he could play multiple spots in the infield. Right-handed hitting athlete. Sounds like he's getting $2 million. It's not going to happen until January of 2025, so he is eligible to sign currently, but nobody has $2 million. It's basically how the system works. You and I have talked about it. I know you're pretty familiar with it. So he will wait until next January. The White Sox will give him $2 million. I'm guessing that's their biggest signing, but who knows? That's yet to be seen. So, you know, they're back signing more Cubans, but this guy's significantly younger than what they usually do.
Oh, yeah. When I posted, I got a lot of pushback. Ah, another Cuban. I was like, yeah, they're all the same. Every Cuban's exactly the same. If they're from Cuba, obviously there's going to be problems. Whole thing's ridiculous. Yeah, I'd say that's everything that I've got. You got anything else for the week?
No, and I really don't know, like, as far as these, like, bonus amounts go, like, I'm sure they have, like, a little bit of money left, but, I mean, they were, like, right at 1.7, and then there's, like, seven or eight new guys on the transaction page. So, I mean, even if some of these guys are $300K-$400K, that money starts going pretty quickly, so... Yep. No, other than that, I mean, look, it's, I would imagine we'll get some more roster cuts at some point. I think Elijah's putting together something on Oscar Colas and, you know, so that's, look, I don't know why anybody's surprised. I heard some pushback on radio this week. It's like, oh, Oscar Colas like didn't make the team. I'm like, guys, like it's a math problem. I mean, it's like Dominic Fletcher is going to face righties. Oscar Colas is in Charlotte. He was always going to be in Charlotte. So he's got to go down there and get the job done and clean it up a little bit if he's ever going to play for this manager. So
yeah,
we'll see. Right.
Yeah. So one of the things that everybody's like, well, he was, you know, he played in Japan before he came here. And I'm like, he played in the minor leagues in Japan. He came here. He's in the minor leagues. Expecting him to be able to just automatically jump straight into Major League Baseball last year was, you know, hopeful thinking for sure, you know? So
Well, I mean, when you spend all of your allocated budget on the bullpen, these are the kinds of decisions you have to make, right? Like, oh, our team's good enough to handle just like sticking this kid in right field. I mean, it's just, it happened way too many times in the Ken Williams Rakan era. I mean, it's even like going back to Andrew Vaughn, and we're not going to have like the Andrew Vaughn discussion where it's like, how different does that dude look with 500 at bats at Birmingham and Charlotte? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, but, yeah. And I know like the pandemic was in there and it was weird, but I mean, it's just your typical way of, you know, the owner doesn't spend, and the guys that were in charge like for 20 years, like couldn't figure out how to spend under an owner that doesn't spend. And these are like, you know, some of the collateral damages, like basically because of that.
Yep. You know, one other thing to add is that, you know, if the White Sox do end up having some extra international money, they can just go ahead and trade and get Aldrin Batista and Maximo Martinez type guys as well.
Yeah, I'm sure the Dodgers just have guys laying around that they'd send
sure,
you for more money. Yeah,
I'm sure they probably do. They probably got all sorts of guys that they can just.
Well, I will say, like before, there are some teams that have like overspent. Like the Padres have traded for international space in this signing period because they don't have the money. You know, because they, when you sign your top guy for $5 million and you only have, and then you sign free agents and your bonus pool gets taken away. So, yeah, I don't know. Did you see the Blake Snell Instagram post today?
I did not, no.
Oh, yeah, he just posted a couple of eyeballs this afternoon and everybody went crazy. Ooh. Yeah, and then you search Twitter and everybody seems to think it's going to be the Angels. If it is the Angels, the White Sox draft pick moves from number 68 to 67. So I hope it's the Angels. That would be cool.
Yeah, as long as he signs to somebody else other than the Padres, I'm good. I mean, essentially, that's all that matters to me, because I don't think anybody in this division is going to sign him. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Now, the only other issue for the White Sox, and it's not really an issue, and it's not the end of the world, is if the Giants signed him, they'd only have to like give up their third this time, so the Sox pick wouldn't move up any further. But
yeah, because they've already
given away they've already stuff. Forfeited that pick. So you need him to go to a team that's forfeiting their second round pick. That would be cool.
Yeah, fair enough. You good?
All good, man. I'm going to go catch up on the Oscars.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm not. I don't watch that thing at all. I can't. You know, it's just like, it's just a little too uppity for me, I guess. You know?
Oh, no, I get that part. I've seen a lot of the movies, though. So that's why I'll fast forward through it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, probably. So futuresox.net, you can find all of our wonderful written content, including our top 30 list. There's a bunch of stuff that's going to be up there, and you can also support us on Patreon through a link there. And there is going to be more content coming here for Patreon subscribers, mainly going to be a lot of interview stuff, you know, with Elijah Evans being down in Arizona. He's been talking to a lot of these guys while spring training's been going on. So there's going to be some of that stuff going behind the Patreon. And for those of you that support us, we appreciate you. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Future Sox. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at James Fox 917. For those of you who are listening to this in podcast form, you can find us every Sunday night at 8 o'clock on YouTube and on Twitch. And we also have on Monday nights, we have Elijah Evans and Jeff Cohen do their Future Sox Roundup show. And then on Tuesdays, Nick Morosky, who's going to be out in Arizona this week. So I will be taking up with Danny Miller. And we will also have on Future Sox's Steve Hassman, a.k.a. Sleepy Harold, this week. So that'll be a good time. You can find this wherever you find your podcasts. And you can also find it in audio-only form on YouTube. My name is Ian Eskridge. For my co-host here, James Fox, we appreciate you guys. We will catch up with you guys next Sunday at 8 p.m. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night.